we're going to hear an interview with Mira Black. Many of you will be familiar with Mira Black, either from her days hosting the radio show Sex on UMFM, or from her many incarnations as a musical performer. I first caught sight of Mira Black way back in the early 90s when she was the front woman and lead singer of the band Acoustically Inclined. After the members of that band parted ways, she embarked on a solo career that began with her in the role of jazz chanteuse, but evolved to see her reborn as an electronica musician, whose most recent album is produced by Chicago house music legend Vince Lawrence. Along the way, she's performed at folk festivals and jazz festivals across the continent, lived in Toronto, Vancouver Island, Chicago, and now Calgary. She's also had Madonna use her song Crazy as the soundtrack to the huge marketing campaign behind the Truth or Dare fragrance. Well, what many of you may not know is that Mira graduated from the University of Winnipeg with a BA in psychology, and she worked in social services for 15 years, teaching self-defense and offering crisis counseling through West Broadway's clinic, as well as the Knowles Center. With news media and social media lighting up with the discussion on violence against women in recent weeks, I decided it was time to track down Mira in Calgary and ask her some questions on the topic of rough sex and the issue of consent. Here's an edited version of a telephone call we had back on Monday. I was wondering if it's okay to want to have violent sex with someone.
I am no one to judge anyone else's kink. Sex is a matter of expression. We're animals. Choosing to have rape fantasies and to be dominated or to be submissive, there's a whole community around different ways that people enjoy expressing themselves sexually. When it becomes a power play, that's a matter of choice and consent when you want to judge the okayness of it. It all comes down to consent.
So it's okay if both people are willing to do it?
Absolutely. It's all about willingness, agreement, communication, consent.
So how would someone go about obtaining consent? Because, you know, you can go to a bar and you can flirt with someone and you can say things like you want to leave together, and you can assume that you both understand what that means. You can get into a cab together even and go to one of your places. It's safe to assume that you know what's going on. But how do you go about obtaining consent for something that is kinkier? How do you go about obtaining consent with someone that you've just met for that particular thing?
You ask them. That's it. There's no hidden hinting or assuming, or, well, she's wearing leather and chains, or, well, he's so-and-so, such-and-such a way. There cannot be any assumptions in sexual consent. In Canada, we have an affirmative consent law. Her consent has to be sought without duress, without coercion, without fear. If she's not enthusiastic and willing, then you got to take it as a no. So if he or she has not specifically said yes, then there's a problem. And there has to be capacity. The example of in a bar, you're flirting, decide to get in a cab. If the other is too drunk to consent, then that's a problem as well. That's something to keep mindful of. It's about two people connecting and having a conversation. I've had men ask to kiss me. It's very lovely and romantic, and it's a preference. And I've had difficulty when someone wants to hug me and I don't want to be hugged. They don't ask me and they put their arms around me. And you as a performer can kind of attest to how people can see you on stage for an hour and feel like they have some kind of a right to you. Have the conversation. And if you don't know each other well enough to have the conversation about your fantasies, then go home and call each other the next day. Try again. If you don't know him and you can't have that conversation, then maybe that's a time for you to take pause and go, and go home.
What I'm hearing you say is interesting, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to articulate it fully. All levels of intimacy should be discussed. The man saying, you know, I'd really like to kiss you. Or the person at the show saying, I loved your performance. I'm moved by it. Can I give you a hug?
And, exactly.
And perhaps if our culture was encouraging those levels of opening up and communicating, there would be more comfort around talking about sexual fantasies, and there might be an opportunity for more men and women to ask for consent and also to give consent.
And it leads to all kinds of different situations in partnership, in a marriage, in long-term relationships, in families, and I mean it communication in a sexual relationship is vital from the moment you want to touch each other.
Do you think that it's hard for a person to express something that they want to do because of the danger of being judged for it or turned down? Even in junior high, you want to ask someone to dance, but you're scared to do it, not because you think dancing is weird. Everybody's dancing, but you're afraid of being turned down.
Yeah, rejection, self-downing, all of that. And again, in high school, it's a vital time for us to be talking about sex and sexuality, and not all the schools are allowed. Most of them put it onto the gym teacher. It's a part of the physical education. It also encompasses health. Very, very few schools have resources for children to talk about. You know, this scares me. This interests me. That's curious to me. We're still fighting for kids to stop getting beaten up for being gay. It's a difficult, difficult conversation to have in the home. And in our boys are being taught about sex and sexuality on the internet, and most of it is porn. And because it's so easily accessible now, a boy going through puberty who's surrounded by a whole culture of pushing sex for marketing is learning about that not from an elder woman or an elder man or a teacher or a religious leader or counselors. How many children are really that comfortable with just going, I have a question, I'm going to go find that counselor where everyone in the school can see me walking into the counselor's office. It's not that accessible.
Would you encourage a woman who's in a relationship where she feels trust with her partner, would you say it's okay for her to indulge his fantasy, even if it's not a fantasy that's popping up for her?
My first instinct is to say, go slow. Go really slow. I don't know about that. It's kind of weirding me out, but I love this man. I trust him. He has a fantasy. And I say, go slow and find what your boundary is. But I think, again, it starts with allowing him to tell you. Don't judge him, because everybody's sex is so individual, and we don't, and you never know, you might like something, but go slow. And there's rules, especially when you get into very violent sex. It's difficult when you're in the situation. Like, once you've taken a step too far, it can be really hard to back up. It's much easier to go too slow than too fast. There are times when a fantasy is actually a kind of remedial, psychological working through of something, and it can be positive or negative depending on the situation. It has to be all okay to talk about is really where I keep coming back to, and we don't generally. I hope that answered your question. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, what I'm hearing is that if the partner that is being asked to indulge the fantasy of the other, if that partner is welcoming the fantasy in the first place, then already you're in a situation which is healthier, and you're going to hear what your partner might be interested in doing, and that's the first step. Let me ask you then, what some of the reasons might be for a woman to consent to violent sex, even if she doesn't actually want to?
Expectations can be very powerful, especially for a young woman who is raised in this very sexualized culture. And I guess we can look back in history, and every grandfather is going to look at their generation and go, wow, what are they wearing? You know, what's that they're listening to, or what are they doing? However, this internet age has made young women learn about what it's like to be a woman from the internet or from their high school partner. So it's a similar situation that I had said earlier about our men learning about sexuality from, in my opinion, not so healthy resources. It's a similar with our women. So I've had a class when I taught self-defense, for example. The discussion at one point gets to me asking a gymnasium full of three or four classes of girls, when is it too late to say no, right? You start having sex with your boyfriend, when is it too late to say no? And there are all kinds of different answers, usually around once he's inside you, which is false.
Mm.
There is never, ever a time that one can't say no. And this idea of blue balls and all that, like it hurts him or he's upsetting or he's going to leave me, he won't like me, he's going to talk about me in school. We don't strengthen our women against that. It's humiliating. It's difficult and so on. For consent to be valid, it must be given freely, revocably, renewably, ongoing. It's an ongoing situation. She and he ought to be checking in with each other all the time, right? And I think that if you think of your own situation, I'm guessing, I'm assuming, but I believe that if you think of your own sexual situation, you're watching her. You're paying attention to her, her breath, her eyes, her face. By the time you're in an intimate situation, there must be, in my opinion, there must be that kind of communication. If she's closing her eyes, or she's too drunk, or he's too drunk, then ask again, right?
You have to check in and reaffirm the consent.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's got free of coercion, free of fear. This has got to be, you know, I mean, and it's, this is maybe higher level thinking than a 15-year-old can get to yet, but I think that we are able, as a community, to train our kids about how to be real, right? The reasons for giving consent can be anything the giver of consent decides, so long as it doesn't violate the other's free ability to give it and free ability to revoke it. Sex is like, we have this idea, and this is, maybe I'm stepping into the fire here, but we do have this idea in North America particularly that it's free and fun and easy. Sex is natural. And it's really not, it's not just easy and natural. It's very complicated, sex.
I think we know that women are sometimes unlikely to report sexual violence and abuse. What do you feel are some of the reasons why women don't feel comfortable talking about a situation in which they felt sex went too far or in which they were just hurt and they were physically injured?
The first thing that comes up to me is, again, back to the idea of, we just don't know. Our girls just don't know. They don't have the understanding that they can say no. And I think that it's even more insidious. I could go so far as to say that they don't know that they don't know. They don't realize, so many young girls don't realize that they have power, right? Our culture doesn't feed that, generally, the predominant culture, right? Mm. We don't educate or give them the experience of consent. They believe it doesn't matter, especially if, well, I was drinking and I went home with him, now I'm in his house, I got my clothes off, and it got really crazy and rough, and now she's humiliated and she doesn't know that she can, even after the fact, now still protect herself. There's just a lot of shame involved. Women often don't know that after the fact can still be a time that you defend yourself when you tell someone. One in every three women have been the victim of a violent sexual assault. And, you know, they just don't have the resources. We don't know what to do. We don't talk about it in our family. Our friends are so, you know, well, he's a great guy, et cetera, et cetera.
What can a woman do? What's the short answer? What are some of the resources that you know of that are out there?
Clinic Community Health Center is the first one that comes to mind.
Is that still on Broadway?
It's still on Broadway. There's one on Broadway and one on Portage. It's in, you know, can Google it now, right? Clinic with a K. You can call them anonymously, and they have suicide prevention, rape crisis, counseling, drop-in, free, or you can just call and talk about it, and they'll give you even more resources on any age, you know, anybody can call. And this is just Winnipeg, but I'm sure every city has a kind of place to Google, and you can Google, so what do I do if I've been raped, ? You know, in Calgary or whatever. And specifically in Winnipeg, there's the Best Defense Program, Gaz Black. You can find him on Facebook, on the internet, and he's always available for connection and communication, and his team. He has girls on his team as well, if you're particularly wanting to speak to a female. And again, it's really not just, when I say it's a man's problem, not a woman's problem, I know that that is genderifying it and gender specific, and I don't mean to, but it just seems to me that it's not the victim's problem. This is about the oppressors, and it's about us as a clan, right, talking to each other about what's happening.
It's a perpetrator problem.
It's a perpetrator problem, and I do say, I mean, it's just that because it's still predominantly men who are oppressing women in our society. And so it's just really great when I meet men like you and like Gaz and like Jeremy Loveday and et cetera, and my partner who are really actively fighting against the oppression of women. It's a beautiful thing, and I hope it gets more and more and more, and that we infect each other with love.
Well, thank you for talking with me today, Mira.
Oh, I'm glad to be a part of it, and yeah.
The number for the Clinic Community Health Center here in Winnipeg is 204-784-4090.